Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Hope you are sharing our links at alexjoneslive.com, alexjoneslive.com. We're also on Rumble and X. You can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. Let's keep talking about Thomas Massie, because you can see the desperation these people feel in getting Thomas Massie out. You know, there's a couple of silver linings with this. In a lot of ways, Massie has already won, right? Because if he wins, this is going to be a huge black eye to the Israeli lobby. It will basically prove that they can pull out all the stops, they can bring all of the weapons they have to bear, and they can still fail if the American people rally around the target of their attack. So that would be huge. If he loses, it's not exactly like, it's not something to feel bad about. You know, it's like people are like, oh, InfoWars shut down. It's like, yeah, and? Not because we failed. Not because we, you know, weren't popular, didn't have support, didn't have an audience. We got screwed. We got screwed over. And that's how Thomas Massie will feel. Because that's the truth. It's not like, I ran a fair, you know, race and darn it, the other guy was just better. No, it's because literally tens of millions of dollars were poured into this specifically because Thomas Massie is a good congressman and they want to teach a lesson to people who want to be good congressmen. Remember, it was Thomas Massie himself that said, a lot of other people in Congress feel like me. They just are afraid to stand up. Thomas Massie wins, it'd be a big push towards those people. For like, hey, you can do this. You can stand up for the American people and you will be rewarded by the American people. You know, I had a video a while ago that I repost pretty regularly whenever anything racial comes up, where I'm talking about, you know, if only black people voted, everywhere would be Democrat. If only Hispanic people voted, everywhere would be Democrat. If only Jewish people voted, everywhere would be Democrat. But if only white people voted, everywhere would be Republican. But in that, I'm also talking about AIPAC handlers. This was after Thomas Massie revealed that to Tucker Carlson, that every Republican had an AIPAC handler who basically directed them and told them how to vote. And they would call for advice about how to deal with certain issues. And they were the Israeli first conduit that got all of the Republicans aligned. And the problem is that that becomes their sole source of power. The way our system is set up is that you're supposed to get the power from the people and from the people's approval. And so that should be your only concern. As long as I serve the people, they'll return me to office. I'll retain my power. My power is born from the people's approval. But when AIPAC can come in and override the people's approval, can dictate the people's approval, or can work behind the scenes to, you know, hamstring and destroy you, you know, without anybody knowing, which is the real power of AIPAC. It's not just about the money. People point to the AIPAC money. It's about the connections. It's about the control and influence of the media. It's about the connections to the current administration and what they can get Trump to do for them. It's about way, way, way more than money. And the money is really the least important aspect of this. Also, the money given to the politician is not anywhere near the total amount spent on the race by PACs and super PACs and all these things publishing ads for them and doing whatever else. So what in effect has actually happened here is a total inversion, or just in a word, the complete destruction of our democratic system, because the people in power no longer have to appeal to the citizenry. The citizenry is kept in a state of ignorance and stupidity and simply dictated who they vote for every couple of years, and they tend to fall in those party lines. So as long as they serve AIPAC, they're good. That has become their highest priority. That's become the only priority. You can lose at everything else. As long as AIPAC has your back, as long as you support Israel and they support you, you'll probably get into office. And AIPAC brags about this and says, you know, 99% of the people they support get into office. They have a pretty good track record on this because they know who to pick and they ensure that they succeed. So the Thomas Massie run is like a very unique instance where enough attention is on this, enough love surrounds Thomas Massie, that perhaps we can reset the priorities of the congressman, at least in this instance, and for now. We can show the congressman, if you serve AIPAC, you're not getting our support. If you serve Israel, it's going to be a net negative. And that needs to be the ultimate result of this, is that the burden of taking AIPAC money has to be greater than the benefit of being chosen by AIPAC. Now, AIPAC already recognizes that they're unpopular, and so they're laundering their money now through other PACs they set up, like Kentucky MAGA. Not Kentucky, not MAGA. It's an Israeli front group hiding their activity so that AIPAC's name isn't on it. The Democrats are doing this to an even greater degree because of how unpopular it is there. That's a step in the right direction. That's a good development for us. We don't want AIPAC controlling our politicians. And if they do, we want them to have to do it clandestinely because they're so unpopular to the wider American population. But this really has become a litmus test. It really has become a chance for us to see whether or not serving the American people is enough, or whether serving Israel is enough. And then, of course, the silver lining on top of all of it is that if Thomas Massey loses, it's likely he runs for president next. And he, out of anybody, has done the most work in reaching across the aisle and could very well be a dark horse surprise to everybody if he's able to not just, you know, maybe run a third party, maybe do what Donald Trump did and shake up the Republican primary in 2028. So it's sort of a win-win situation regardless, but don't let that stop you from voting. If you're in Kentucky and if you're in this district, you got to get out to vote. I don't want to hear an excuse, well, you know, I really wanted to run for president, so I didn't vote for him. No, this needs to be slapped out of the hands of AIPAC. Mark Levin says, I had Ed Galrain on my radio show last evening. He's running against Massey. He's a superb patriot and he'd be a great congressman. I endorsed him and endorse him now. The election is Tuesday. Turnout is key. Make sure to vote. And then the redhead libertarian says, best endorsement of Thomas Massey that I've ever seen. Folks, do you love Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin? Then vote Ed Galrain and get the hell out of our country. Just despicable. Chris Menahan has the article at Information Liberation, Thomas Massey versus Israeli Lobby. Kentucky Representative Thomas Massey is fighting to hold on to his seat in Congress in the face of record spending from the Israeli lobby and an onslaught of attacks from President Trump. The Republican Jewish Commission, Coalition, AIPAC, Miriam Adelson, and Paul Singer are all part of the Israeli lobby. And that's where the money comes from my opponent, Ed Galrain, Massey told ABC News' George Stephanopoulos on Sunday. And it will be a referendum on foreign policy, whether Israel gets to dictate that by, you know, bullying members of Congress. And I'm one they have not been able to bully. So now they're putting all the brunt, the force on me. But you can tell that I'm ahead in the polls and they're desperate. That's why they're sending the Secretary of War to my district tomorrow. That's why the president's losing sleep and tweeting about this. That's why AIPAC has dumped another $3 million into this race this weekend, because they're panicked and they really haven't been able to gain a lead in this race. So again, they see this as almost an existential problem here, that if Thomas Massey gets to remain in Congress, their power will have been substantially weakened in the eyes of the other congressmen. And they are pulling out all the stops, and it is showing their desperation. This is not Donald Trump, you know, putting the cherry on top. This is not, you know, Pete Hegseth just like, yeah, I was in town anyway. No, they're desperate. They're all flying in to try to get to destroy Thomas Massey, which it just tells you everything you need to know about them, right? Because Thomas Massey is a great politician. And he's a great conservative and he's libertarian. They can't, you know, blame this. I mean, they can't blame this on anything, really. He's played it so well. Because if he was more radical, if he was like, you know, an identitarian, they could blame it on that, right? Like they've done with other people, where who was it that said, you know, he's like, white supremacy, how's that a bad thing? Or like white nationalism, what? We are a white nation. And they just like kick him off all the blah. How dare you? How dare you recognize white people's contribution to this country? You racist. And they kick him out. It's like Thomas Massey, he hasn't stepped on any tripwires. And all of his opposition to Israel has been so sort of principled. Like even with Tucker Carlson, they'll point to him defending Islam and go, oh, he's on the side of Muslims or whatever. But Thomas Massey's played this so carefully and has been so, you know, resolutely good at staying on topic. Like they've got nothing. They really have nothing. They just want to call him stupid and an obstructionist. They just want to insult him because they have no substantial criticisms to make. They can't claim that he's anti-Semite. They can't claim that he's a racist. They can't claim that he's a far right, you know, tyrannical person. They've got nothing. So it's just insults and money. And if that wins, then we're screwed. And that's it. But the desperation. Oh, the desperation reeks, y'all. It's like, how much more desperate could you even get? They're sending Pete Hegseth to do this. And like, they're so desperate. They're like breaking the law. I mean, the AI videos that look real. Again, it's one thing if you're Spencer Pratt and you're, you know, putting the mayor of LA in a emperor's uniform and you're having them, you know, dictate policy like a queen. Okay, no one's believing that. It's not trying to be legitimate. It's not trying to be realistic. But then you've got AI videos running on Fox News of Thomas Massie holding hands with AOC and Ilhan Omar, and they look real. And it looks like security footage. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to doctor images and then present them as if they're real. But who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop them? What are you going to do? Sue them? Well, they're doing it through an LLC that they'll close down as soon as the election's over. So they're completely violating the law with these AI videos that are made to look real. Totally egregious. Totally insane. Oh, yeah, he betrayed President Trump. That's literally all they've got. Paid for by Kentucky MAGA, of course. That's not the only thing they're doing. They've got Donald Trump tweeting endlessly about this. He goes on and on about it. Third-rate Congressman Thomas Massie, weak and pathetic, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, it's just, I don't know, it's just beyond infuriating. I mean, what is there even to say? Let's go to the Clash Report video, because this was, so Trump is tweeting about this endlessly, and then they're sending Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of War to go campaign, which I think would also be illegal. They're using illegal AI creations to trick the boomers. It doesn't have a number, it's one we added, so it'd be number 30, I guess. Sorry, talking to the crew about which clip to play here, because it just came out, so I added it later on, so it's not on my video list. But this just came out from President Trump, who has once again injected himself into this race in an embarrassing and shameful act of desperation because they have no actual arguments. They're relying on the force of personality from the Trump cult. And it's just pathetic and disgusting and, in my opinion, backstabbing to Thomas Massie, who has only ever supported the American people. Let's watch Trump.
I hope you're going to put him out of business tomorrow. I'm in the Oval Office, and we're in a fight against the worst congressman in the history of our country. His name is Thomas Massie. He's from Kentucky. I hope you're going to put him out of business tomorrow. He is so bad. Got an election coming up. He's running against a great guy, a great patriot, Ed Gilrain. He's fantastic. But forget that. Massie's the worst congressman in the history of our country. Always voting against Republicans and good values. So get rid of Thomas Massie.
He's got an A+ on the conservative report card. He votes with Trump like 91% of the time is the actual stat. And the only times he's broken with Trump, it's been on things that Trump was wrong about in the first place. And of course, it's so much like Trump just to be like, he's the worst congressman in the history of our country. Oh, great point. Yeah, great argument. I didn't realize he was worse than whoever, you know, any of the Democrats right now, literally any of them are worse than Thomas Massie. But it's like, I don't know. I'm sure the 1840s had some not good, you know, congressmen, too. It's just a stupid thing to say because Thomas Massie is like more conservative than just about any Republican in Congress. But it's like he might as well, you know, I'm surprised he didn't come out making a video about how Thomas Massie was 2 weeks away from making a nuclear weapon. I mean, Thomas Massie has been routinely enhancing and weaponizing uranium in his basement for 47 years. For 47 years, Thomas Massie has been the sole force behind every single terrorist attack. Did you know that? Did you know that for 47 years, Thomas Massie and his children have been chanting death to America? Did you know that? It's crazy, but it's totally true. It's just as true as it is for Iran. Liberty score. Let's see. Does he have the best Liberty score available? 96%. 96%. Is anybody higher than him? That's what I want to know. Does anybody have a higher Liberty score for voting in favor of personal liberty and against, you know, liberalism and socialism? So it really is just pathetic. And it really is literally exactly the same thing that happened with the war in Iran. I can't help but see the similarities where it's just like, oh, this be an easy victory, you know, as long as you're doing it, you're such a genius. You did Venezuela so well. And remember how Marjorie Taylor Greene collapsed underneath the force of your personality, your honor, your magnificence, Donald Trump. All we need is for you to take out Thomas. It'll be easy. It'll be an easy in and out, you know, 48-hour operation to destroy Thomas Massie. It's not going to be a quagmire. It's certainly not going to, you know, be bad for you. Israel needs this, Trump. So, yeah, it's we're run by Israel. Our country is just run by Israel. And I think that's all there is to it. And it just sucks having a slave as a president. It really does. It's the pits. It's the worst. Having a president who is just a pitiful, abject slave of a foreign state that despises us, it's really sickening. And remember, Miriam Adelson, who's Trump's number one backer, who he gets up on podium and he's like, Miriam Adelson doesn't care about America, but boy, does she love Israel, and I do everything she says. Cool, Trump, great, yeah, fantastic. Remember, she doesn't really have a lot of casinos in America anymore. The vast majority of her casino operations right now are in Macau, off the coast of China, controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. And she's the one pouring money into defeating Thomas Massie. So you have an Israeli who makes her money in China destroying Thomas Massie. Oh, look, it's all the other people that Donald Trump has gone after. That's hilarious. Is this, I assume it's, these are the top ones. All right, top scores. That's so funny because Marjorie Taylor Greene, obviously attacked by Trump. Paul Gosar, I think, has been attacked by Trump. Lauren Boebert is now on Donald Trump's crap list and is he's attacking her now and wants to unseat her and is now reaching out for another puppet in Colorado to get her. Chip Roy, he's up for re-election this year. And then Thomas Massie. So do they all have 96? So they've all got great scores. So it's literally all of the people Donald Trump is at war with are the top liberty score achievers. The high score achievers in liberty are the ones that Donald Trump is tearing down and destroying and kicking out of the Republican Party. Let's go to clip 18 here. This is Tucker Carlson on Thomas Massie, what he thinks of this entire thing.
Miriam Adelson is spending whatever it takes to take the seat away from him because he committed the crime of describing how things actually work in the U.S. Congress. Anyone who gets the idea that maybe I'll get to Congress and tell the truth about how things actually work, you'll be crushed. If they are successful in doing this, crushing a man, defaming a man, slandering a man, attacking his family purely for the crime of telling the truth about them, about how they operate, about the nature of the Epstein class, then you have to wonder, why are we voting in the first place? What is the point of all of this? Is there a reason to participate in the process? If in the end some Israeli casino lady can come in and just determine the outcome, that's not democracy. It's just straight up teeth-bared oligarchy. It's shut up and obey. And so while we can, it's probably worth doing whatever it takes within the bounds of the law to prevent that from happening. Because crushing Thomas Massie for the crime of telling the truth is itself a moral crime. And yet in Washington, the only people who are punished are those who told the truth. And at some point that has to stop or the system itself lacks all legitimacy.
There you go. Tucker Carlson pointing out what we should all know by now. This really is a struggle, a battle that will determine in some not insignificant way whether American is sovereign anymore or whether we are just the playground for oligarchs. And that certainly seems to be where we're headed, especially if, you know, things like this, accelerating federal permitting of data center infrastructure. This is something we reported on at the time, but went largely unremarked upon. And it was, of course, the federal government basically expediting the creation of all of these data centers. Because what we're talking about when we're talking about the conflict between the Israel first and the America first, what we're talking about is the conflict between globalism and nationalism, really, at the end of the day, and whether the Republican Party represents supporting Israel and nothing more and nothing less, because with that incumbent alongside supporting Israel is supporting big tech, supporting the data centers, supporting the surveillance state that they're trying to impose on all of us, or are we in principle against this as Americans? It's really what it all comes down to. And it's not a coincidence that it's the Epstein files, the data centers. I put out a poll yesterday on X or the day before, and the results were a little bit more one-sided than I expect. But my point was, I basically asked, are you pro-data center or anti-data center? And then are you pro-Israel or anti-Israel? Because I have this working theory, and it seems consistent across everybody I follow on X. If you're against Israel, you're against the data centers. These shouldn't really have anything to do with each other, but they do. They obviously are very intimately tied up with one another. Why is that? And what does that mean for us as Americans as we head to the polls for this primary? Do you support the international oligarch, big tech, corporate panopticon, or do you believe in the American system and our foundation and the principles as elaborated on by the founding fathers? I guess that's the question that's being asked right now. Again, we'll get back into this on the other side. But there are more sales that I have not told you yet about at thealexjonesstore.com. And I'll say it again. Today is the day. Do you decide to continue to suffer brain fog and lack of energy and lack of vitality and just sort of stumble through life doing the bare minimum to get by? Or do you seize life by the horns and make it your friend? Or do you make it your friend by maximizing your health and therefore making it easier to achieve your dreams? By the way, even if you don't take the supplements, the merchandise that we have on there is the highest quality, very stylish, very cool. But I suggest you try the T3 iodine. I suggest you try the Life Force. Both those are buy one, get one free right now on thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.